Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, basically, we have extended Rob Thompson for 2026, and all the Major League coaching staff will be back.
And can you, I mean, anytime a season ends in disappointment, failure, whatever, sometimes there's changes in the coaching staff just to get a new voice in there. Why did you guys feel that that was not necessary at this time?
Well, I think we have a good coaching staff, primarily. I mean, they do a very efficient job. They did lead us to 95 wins, and they've been with us for a couple of years, a lot of cases 3 years, and some beyond that. But they're very efficient. They do their job well. We have a good manager. They work well with the manager. He reports direct. They report directly to him. He would have liked all his coaching, his coaches back. So, to me, it was pretty simple in that regard. It's hard for me to, you know, anytime you're right, you do have a disappointing finish, which we did, but it's also hard to put that on their backs in that case. So I think we all share collectively in what happened, but it's one of those where putting it on any of their individual backs I don't think was the right thing to do.
And then why was it important to extend Rob an extra year?
Well, I think, first of all, he's done a good job for us. I mean, he's been a very successful manager. There's very few clubs in baseball that have made the postseason 3 years in a row. He has done that. We've been a very good club under his guidance. It's also one where I think stability in the manager spot. I don't think going into the manager's last year is ever a good situation to be in if you can prevent that from happening. He deserves the extension in that regard. I don't really want the focus. If you go into, I've been in the position sometimes willingly, sometimes unwillingly, where your manager goes into the last year of his contract, and right off the bat, you lose three games in a row, and there's speculation on his job status. So I think it secures that people know how we feel about him. He's done a good job, and it gives us stability in that role. So he's deserved it, really. He's done a great job for us.
Okay, let's go to Marcus in the front.
Rob, do you believe that the structure of this roster with the five veteran, well-paid hitters and the four pitchers you have under control, or four pitchers you have in your starting rotation, and the two young infielders, do you think that this is the bones of a team that can win a championship, or do you think that significant changes need to be either made or additions need to be made?
Well, Dave, I think you mean too, right? That's it, right? Like, yeah, I figured Rob. I didn't see him. I thought you meant me. So
maybe
that's why.
I'll ask him the same question, I promise.
Okay. Yes, I do think it's a good roster. I think it's a good club. I think it's a club that's capable of winning a world championship. We've been close. We won 95 games. However, you're also open-minded to making adjustments. I think that that's a necessity. You want to get better. You're never happy unless you win the whole thing, and we didn't win the whole thing. So I think we have a real good core of players. But, again, I think we'll be open-minded to see if we can make that make our ball club better. So that's really our goal in this case. I think we're in a situation where you look at our guys, we had eight players make the All-Star team. That means you have a lot of good players. We're in a position where a lot of when you talk about the veteran guys, they're really good players at this time. But you're always open-minded to making adjustments, however you may need to be better. So that's what we'll do. We'll go into the winter time with that mindset.
Okay, we'll go to Scott on the left.
Dave, you guys were 61-32 after the sweep of the Dodgers here, and 34-35 the rest of the way. I kind of wonder how you sort of reconcile the first 90-plus games with the final third of the season, and where you feel like maybe things fell down a little bit.
Well, it's the up-and-down nature of the game at times. I wouldn't have anticipated us to have that same pace the first half of the season, yet I wouldn't have anticipated we'd have 500 record the second half. Or right around there. I think there's a few factors. I mean, some guys were hurt at times, ups and downs of that regard. We just didn't perform quite as well at times during the second half of the season, some of the players. And I also think that, and I'll take the responsibility, when we went into the trading deadline, we were in a position where we looked at a lot of different things. And the fifth starting position was in a spot where at that point we felt pretty comfortable where we were. You looked at the acquisition of what some other individuals would be, but we had Tyler Phillips, who was pitching very well at that time. We had Tyon Walker coming back in about 10 days, and we didn't think he'd pitch the way he pitched. We figured we had Spencer Turnbull coming back at the end of August, and we felt that he had pitched really well previously to getting hurt, but we thought he'd be able to step into the starting rotation. Well, none of those things worked for us. And so really what happened is that fifth spot, that's why it's a little misleading, the record. When you look at the fifth spot that we had, that was not a good spot at all for us the last 2 months of the season. So let's say you had five or six wins to there, which would be the case. That person, if we acquired him, probably wouldn't have pitched in the postseason for us. So we looked at it saying, okay, we think we're good enough to win our division as we stand. We did think those three guys, we'd come up with one of them to pitch well for us. And then also over the last couple of months, your Ranger dealt with a lot of little things with them, nothing of major consequence. But all of a sudden, we're not going out there with a consistent five-man rotation, which I think is very important. And we did earlier in the season that was successful. So I think that had a large contribution to that.
If I can follow, too, I'm just curious, like offensively, were there times where you felt like the group – the lineup as a whole was too easy to pitch to? Or, I mean, how did you sort of assess sort of the ups and downs that you guys had offensively?
Well, the unfortunate part, you have a tendency to focus only on your own club, right? This is a downtime from an offensive perspective in professional baseball. What was the average? 243 at the end of the year. Most of our hitters were better than 243. You see the scores in the games. In most of the postseason, there's not a lot of run production taking place. So at times we are vulnerable to being pitched well, as are other clubs. But I can't say that, like going into the last 2 months of the season, that we thought, oh, that was going to be a major issue for us. But it's something we'll look at. We'll take a look at trying to address to see if we can make some changes. Sometimes, you know, we talk about, it's interesting, and I know a theme is chase rate, right? I mean, everybody I read in here writes about chase rate. I think it was interesting, we got eliminated. We were sixth in major of the 12 clubs in chase rate in the postseason. And so that's not good, but it's not the worst. We didn't hit. We really didn't hit. Some of it's chase, some of it's approach, some of it's guys not being hot. We actually, if you looked at it, we chased less than the Mets did in that series, percentage-wise. But at times they got some big hits, and we didn't. And so it's something that we're cognizant of. It's something we'll continue to try to address. But the reality is we have a good lineup. I think we were in the top five in Major League Baseball in runs scored. And we'll continue to strive to be better. But I also think that a lot of clubs are vulnerable to being pitched well. I mean, our starting pitching really shut down the Mets in the postseason, all in all. Unfortunately, our bullpen picked a bad time to not pitch well, and they had been very good almost all year long, particularly the back end of the guys. So sometimes, you know, when you look at it, there's clubs that win 2-1, 1-0, and we just didn't do that. And then part of that was we didn't score enough runs. But we also, our bullpen did not have a good series.
Okay, go to Tim on the right.
Dave, by old and new school metrics, Trey Turner has really struggled defensively since coming here. Will he remain at shortstop moving forward?
Well, when you say that, his metrics are very similar to what they were before he came here in many ways. So Trey has been, he will be our shortstop, yes. He's going to be our shortstop the coming year. But we also feel that sometimes you have to be careful with some of that. And I'm not sure which metrics you're using, but they're not always 100% the defensive. We rely on defensive metrics, but there's also not a perfect way of describing the defensive aspects of the game as far as we know. He did not have not an outstanding defensive shortstop. He does have good range. He makes really good plays at times. But he also makes too many errors at points. But he has improved. He's worked hard, and I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to improve despite his age.
Well, in terms of errors, defensive runs saved, outs above average, he has gone in the wrong direction the last couple of years. Why do you think that will change as he ages?
Well, he works hard. I mean, first of all, he's the rare player, and one of the reasons when he signed for a long-term contract, he's very athletic. And so his speed is still very good. He's still one of the fastest guys in baseball, so I don't think you can compare his aging process to, let's say, the average player. But he's a guy that's just very athletic. He works hard. He's got a good infield instructor in Bobby Dickerson. We saw some strides ourselves this year on some things that he improved upon. So that's why I think he'll get better.
Okay. Alex, front row on the left.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Alex.
You mentioned the trade deadline earlier, and I'm wondering just how you would assess the moves that you guys made in general.
Well, we were very happy with the trades that we made at the particular time. I've been in this role before where sometimes you make moves and they turn out great. Other times you make moves and they didn't really turn out as well as you would like. I think in our situation here, I mean, there were really two major acquisitions we made at the trade deadline. Tanner Banks we liked, and Tanner Banks pitched as we would have thought he pitched. We think he helped our bullpen. Somebody will be with us for an extended period. But he's also not a guy that we really acquired with high leverage in mind. So we got Austin Hayes, who we liked a great deal. Unfortunately, Austin Hayes got hurt almost immediately. He got hurt, and then he had the kidney infection. We really never saw a good version of Austin Hayes. So if you judge it on that, that was not very good. Didn't work out well for us. We like Carlos Estevez. He did a good job for us. He was solid. He helped shape our bullpen. I really liked even how he threw in the postseason until he threw the pitch to Lindor. So he was the one guy that threw the ball well before that. So it was, we added the players that we thought we needed to add. Unfortunately, Austin Hayes got hurt, and there's nothing you can do about that.
And when you look at the high leverage relievers, their performance in the bullpen, do you kind of see that as like an aberration, or like what do you kind of make of their outings in particular?
Well, I would think it's more of an aberration, yes. Anytime you see a guy struggle a lot, you get perhaps a little concerned. I don't think they were overworked or overtired. And we all are searching for that answer ourselves. I still like our group, our core group of guys going into next year. We like them. Of course, a couple of them are free agents, as you're aware. I'm not sure where that will take us. But we feel very comfortable with Strom from the left-hand side, Alvarado and Banks, and then we like Kirkering. So as high leverage type of guys, I'm really not sure what happened at that point. I was as surprised as anybody, as I think all of us were at that point, because they had pitched efficiently. They have been in the postseason before. They're not young guys. Kirkering was the youngest, but they've had the experience. So I really, that probably surprised me more than anything, because when you have good start and pitching, which we did, sometimes you do win a game. I mean, you look into the first game, you're winning 1-0 going into the eighth. Well, a lot of times in the regular season, we'd win that game. And then we didn't. Our guys just didn't perform very well at that time.
Okay. Anthony, right in the middle.
Yeah. Dave, I have two questions for you. First, about Alec Bohm. How do you look at his season? This started off so well, becomes an all-star, and then has like a slow decline. And then how concerning was it that Rob had to pull him out of the lineup for game two against the Mets?
Sure. Well, Alec Bohm's a good player. I mean, he's starting third baseman for the National League team. I mean, he's a good player. He knocked in 100 or close to 100 runs 2 years in a row. He's one of the top hitters in the league. He's improved defensively. He had an outstanding first half of the season and not an Alec Bohm second half of the season. But he overall is a really good player. And he's a good player on the team. You know, anytime, you know, the manager has to make those decisions on what he thinks is the best thing for his club. We knew he was coming off an injury that affected his hand, which makes it more difficult to hit at times. So Rob thought that we needed energy and that was a move that he was going to make. He went into the game later in the day, into that particular game. So, I mean, those are the things I leave in the manager's hands. I mean, I wish he wasn't in a slump at that time. I wish he was swinging the bat well, but he wasn't. And the manager has to sometimes make moves to try to spark things.
Second question. A year ago at this time, we sat here and you had some uncertainty about what your outfield was going to look like coming into 24. Now it might be the same uncertainty still existing, maybe even a little bit more. How do you look at your outfield at this time and how you're going to approach it going into the offseason?
Well, I mean, our outfield, yeah, it's more uncertain than our infield because our infield's basically set at every single position and catching and a lot of starting pitchers and that. So, I mean, our outfield, all in all, has, I think it's very, turned out to be very average at the big league level when you look at it. I think we have one guy that plays every day, Castellanos. We like Marsh still. We like him. I think he's a good player. When you look at his numbers overall, he's good. He could play left or he can play center. We need, we like Rojas, but we need offensive improvement there from him. We have a plan this wintertime. He's going to live in Clearwater. He plans, we have a plan from an offensive perspective. He reduced his chase rate. He's still an outstanding defensive center fielder. He can run. But I can't say he's for sure going to be our center fielder. And then we have Hayes, of course. We'll have to make a decision in that regard. So I'm not sure how it will be, but I would think that a couple of guys for sure that are part of that equation are Marsh and Castellanos, and then we take it from there.
Okay, go to Dan right in the middle.
What are you going to do with Taijuan Walker?
Well, Taijuan Walker, he did not have a good year, as we all know, so no need to pound that into it. We have sat down with Taijuan before he left. He was given a very detailed program from a conditioning and throwing perspective. Not that he's in bad condition, but that, and to get him ready to try to get him back to be the pitcher that he was in the past. He is in a position where I'm convinced he will work hard on that to get it done. I would think he'll come to spring training with us next year, but he's not guaranteed a starting spot. I don't think I can just say, hey, you're our fifth starter. I think he would come to camp and be in a battle to try to win a spot in the rotation.
And last year in the spring, excuse me, Bryce and Scott Boros both kind of lightly broached the topic of reworking his contract. Has that been brought up since, and is that something you think will even be on the table this offseason?
So I didn't. I what names did you mention?
Bryce Harper, Scott Boros.
Oh, and Scott Boros. Okay, I didn't get the second part. Really, when it comes to, as I've said this all along, contract negotiations, I always keep private. I don't think there's any thing to be gained by sharing any type of contract discussions, yes or no.
Okay, go to Devin on the left.
Hi, Dave. So before the NLDS, you mentioned the window and if it was closing, and you talked about all the young talent that you have coming up. Mm-hmm. Given, you know, guys like Alec Bohm and the series that they had in the postseason, knowing you have guys like Aiden Miller and Andy Painter kind of waiting in the wings, how does that play into your roster and personnel decisions this offseason?
Well, I do think, and again, that's a common question, is your window over? Well, as I said, we have a very talented group of players, and we have some veteran players, and we have that group of guys in the middle now with the Bohm and the Marshes and the Stotts and the Sanchezes, that group. And then we have some young players also coming. There's a little bit, I don't think, well, Aiden Miller, I don't anticipate being ready this coming year. Crawford is coming very fast. I'm not sure that when we go into spring training, we're not going to count on him being one of our big league starting outfielders, but he's a lot of ability. It wouldn't surprise me if he came in any time. Andy Painter is another whole different situation. He threw for the first time the other day. He is a very, very talented individual, and it's apparent he's healthy, and he'll get a limited number of innings in the Arizona Fall League, and then be in a position where we're going to have to make a determination how we're going to use his innings next year, because he's not going to be a guy that we can throw out and count on pitching 180 innings at the major league level. But I think with those veteran players, we're not at a position where they're still not productive. I think they're productive at this time. You're always concerned as players age, the aging curve. But I don't think the window is closed as far as the Philadelphia Phillies are concerned. I do think that you close windows when some guys age and some of them are not part of your next step, but we're in a position where we have some good young players, and we have some other good young players in the organization too. The farm systems come on a great deal. Brian Barber and Preston Mattingly and Jorge Velandi were leading the different groups that we have, and so it'll be a matter of moving people in. And we also have an owner who's been very generous to us, and I think we'll continue to do that. So I think the Phillies have a window to be a good club for years to come. Will all of these players be part of it? Most likely not.
Okay, let's go to Corey on the left.
Dave, you mentioned that Dave, you mentioned the chase rate. You guys are middle of the pack in terms of the playoff teams. You also have four right-handed hitters who skew more toward aggressiveness than selectiveness. How do you push this thing forward offensively next year if you're in a short series again? You know, there's the randomness of playoff baseball. Do you need a certain sort of offensive profile? Is the guys changing their approach?
Well, that's a whole year away, and we got a whole off season to deal with that. We also still have four left-handed hitters that should also balance that versus a right-handed pitcher, for example, and when that ends up coming into play. And so even though they do, I wouldn't put Bowman that at all as a guy that's a big chase guy. In fact, he's just the opposite. He swings often and usually makes contact, so he's in a position where he's not a big chase guy. And so you look at there are the other guys there, but I think it's one in which we're going to appraise what ends up happening for us. I mean, it's a situation. I do think sometimes, too, it's an interesting comment. You all read everything that's out there, and some of you wrote it. So Trey Turner said in his situation, I feel at times we get ourselves out. All right. It's a very enlightening comment because that is true at times. And other clubs know that. So we need to keep working with these guys where we can make the proper adjustments so they don't keep doing those type of things and don't keep. And they're, we have a group that chases quite a bit. I mean, Nick's a chaser. He's better this year than he was. He worked better. He got a nice two-strike approach. Trey's a guy that has traditionally done that. He's chasing a little bit more than he used to. But he doesn't need to be that type of hitter. I mean, he's a guy that can use the opposite field, and we'll encourage him to keep doing that. So everybody's an individual case as you go through it. But I do think it's something that we'll continue to focus on and try to get them to not chase as much. And there's other, we reduced it some from last year, and we'll continue to try to do it going into next year. Short series, a lot of different things happen. We had a lot of the same players in the past, and it's eventually, we made the World Series, went to the LCS this year. Unfortunately, we stopped in the first round here for us. But you look to get better, but we do have a lot of good players.
Okay, go to Matt in the back left.
Dave, will your payroll be higher in 2025 than it was in 2024?
I do not know that at this time.
Do you have the wherewithal to have a higher payroll next season?
I really can't. When you say that, I can't even answer that question. They're all tied. That's really the same question. So I really don't have anything to say about that because we haven't sat down and had that final discussion. But I have no indication that we're not going to continue to be aggressive in trying to have a aggressive payroll.
And you've talked a lot about the status quo so far.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where do you think you can upgrade this roster? Where do you look to upgrade this roster this offseason?
Well, I'm not really going to give you all those things at this point because I think it's a situation where then it's easy to say, well, if you do this, then you're getting rid of this player, right? I mean, the reality is we have a lot of good players, right? I mean, and so I think we just have to be open-minded to exploring what's out there for us, talk to some clubs, and see what ends up happening. That process hasn't started. Sometimes you trade good players for good players. And so those are the areas. I mean, the reality is we have a third baseman, we have a shortstop, we have a second baseman, we have a first baseman, we have a DH, we have a catcher. Probably need to, and we've talked about Russ JT a little bit more as we go forward. We talked about Castellanos, we talked about Marsh, so there's one outfield spot. The reality, we like our bench, and we've got some good bench players. So if you're going, we have four solid starting pitchers, we can upgrade the fifth spot for sure. Our bullpen really pitched well, but you always want to look at your bullpen and see if you can get better and how that happens. But we've done a good job. Our people in the organization have done a good job at taking guys that are not high-profile relievers and making them productive pitchers for us. So we'll explore that. But I think it really comes down to an open-mindedness of conversations and see where that takes you.
Okay, Dave, you're in the front.
Hey, Dave, you've already touched on Trey's fielding, his athleticism, his acknowledgement of chasing and getting themselves out. I guess overall speaking, what gives you the confidence, and I know he was an all-star and a starter, that he can deliver at a high level in key spots at times in October for the remaining 9 years of that deal?
Well, I'm not going to talk nine because that's a long way out, but I'll talk the immediate future. He's a good player. You know, I mean, he's got a lot of talent. He's a very, as you said, he's an individual. He's very smart. I think he'll make some adjustments himself. So I just think that he's a good player that sometimes in a short series, guys have a good series, sometimes they don't. But with the talents that he has, I don't see why he cannot have a good postseason.
Okay, go to Ty on the left.
Hi, Dave. You just mentioned maybe JT resting more going forward. He's, you know, played a lot of games compared to other catchers. What might go in to a plan to kind of get him more rest and off his feet more? And do you feel like the current group of reserve catchers is strong enough to kind of be able to handle that and step in a bigger role?
Well, you know, first of all, Rob Thompson will have to sit down and talk to him a little bit more. I mean, it's going to be one that we just ourselves, though, have said that. Yeah, we have some guys that we are capable of doing that. But it's hard to play once a 8 days or six games or something and produce from an offensive perspective. Defensively, we've done very well. I don't have any concerns about that. Stubbs has been solid in that regard. But that's a tough job for a guy to just play every whatever it is, six, eight games. We like Marshawn a lot. We think he's a real good catcher, and he's shown some offensive prowess also. He is out of options for next year. One of the things with Marshawn we have to do is, it's been unfortunate, he's had a lot of injuries, but when he's played very well. So I think we have some people capable of doing that internally, but I can't tell you that they'll be for sure given the job. We just have to keep an open mind as we explore that this wintertime.
Okay, Jeff in the front right.
Hey, Dave. I know you mentioned Andrew Painter. Obviously, he's not going to throw 180 innings next year. But what role do you envision for him for 2025, and how soon do you think he can get into that role?
Well, he's going to be a starting pitcher. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, he has to earn a starting position with the big league club whenever it gets to that point. The rust is just coming off. It's like the other day he was throwing great. He gave up two runs, which is very unusual for him. He doesn't usually ever even give up two runs. But he'll get better and better and better as he goes out there, so the rust will come off. The main thing we want to make sure is that he's healthy. He knows he's healthy. He's ready to go into spring training. Where I don't know is because we need to figure out how many innings we feel comfortable for him to pitch next year, and then we need to have a plan in that regards. Does he pitch at the minor league level for a while and then come up? Does he pitch two or three innings in the beginning and then have more innings at the back end of the year? Does he have a consistent number of innings all year long? Pittsburgh, I read what they did with Skeens. He talked about how happy he was with his situation. He started in the minors, but he wasn't coming off an injury either. So all of those are factors, and I don't know the answers at this time. Those will be things that we talk about leaning into spring training next year.
Okay, go to Dave Murphy in the middle.
Hey Dave, you mentioned that other kind of bucket of prospects that you have outside of Miller and Crawford, Kemp or Cones. I mean, you have mm-hmm. a few guys down there, college guys. Any of those players, guys who you think are close enough to getting a shot next year that you would factor them into how you approach the offseason?
Well, I don't think they're guys that we're going to say they're for sure with a spot on the team. I think they're guys that they come to big league spring training, which I would guess that they would. We haven't made those decisions either. They're talented enough that they could do that. Unfortunately, Rincones has been a guy who's been hurt a lot, so he didn't have a full year. If he would have had a full year, the answer to that would probably be yes. But he's also a very talented guy with some power. He can swing the bat. He's playing in the Arizona Fall League, so we'll end up seeing how he continues to progress. Kemp's a guy that he's really come out of nowhere in many ways, so he's a guy that could come to camp and surprise. But I don't think that we're counting on them to be part of our opening day roster in 25.
And then, Turner, if you look at his fly ball rate has kind of spiked a little bit here lately, and the line drive rate is down, especially when you compare it to his MVP kind of season. Are there things you see in his swing that you think maybe an offseason can get him back to being more of a line drive type of guy?
I think so. I do think so. Kevin Long has talked a lot about that. Rob Thompson, we've talked a lot about it already. And I think that we're not looking for Trey to have to hit the ball in the ballpark on a consistent basis. We're just not. And sometimes but he can, as you can see, he's got tremendous power. But I think the value of him, and when we talk about the lineup and different things, well, sometimes it's approaches too. Turner's approach, really, we're much more comfortable if he's more of a line drive doubles hitter that hits the ball at the ballpark some. I'll give you another example is Bryson Stott. I mean, for us, Bryson Stott should be an on-base type of guy. He's a guy that we're not looking to hit 20 home runs. He's a guy that can work the count. He has a good eye, although he didn't show it this year. So we think that Stott can come back and do that. So that gives you a little more balance of all of a sudden if Turner and Stott doing more of that. And I think some of that can be internal for us. And they're important parts of our ball club in that regard.
Thanks.
Mike on the right.
Dave, when you look at upgrading the roster in some spots, what type of player do you think this team needs, or what type of skill set are you guys looking for in upgrades?
Well, that's a general question. That's a really tough one to answer because you just have to wait and see when you talk to people. You're looking to make your club better. You're not looking to be in a position to just change faces. So I think you're in a position where it depends upon who's available and how we weigh that and how they fit into your club. So, I mean, the way I would answer that question, we want championship players. Now describe that. Well, there's a lot that goes into that, and I think that's how we approach it.
Okay. Where are we? Todd, on the left.
Dave, when you guys signed Zach to the extension in March, a lot of questions asked about future payrolls, and John was asked about, can you guys possibly acquire more star players? He said, I think there's a way to do it if it becomes a necessity. I'm wondering, A, do you think it's a necessity to acquire a star player this offseason to get you over the top? And regardless, are there paths to do it either through trade capital or other moves you can make to maybe get yourself in the running for a star player?
Right. Well, I don't think we need to add more star players. We have as many stars as about anybody in baseball. So I don't think necessarily that you need to add more. And I think you'd have to be a little concerned. John is very accommodating and giving, but you're also in a position where you're still working with the payroll and trying to make things work for you and go into the future, what you have. And, would you be open to it? Yes. But I think you have to be careful because sometimes it's not only the star players, it's also sometimes the supporting cast. And when you look at it, we had 8 all-stars, right? And now they're not all veteran guys, but that's more than anybody in baseball. We have, when you look at our starting rotation, I don't know that of the top 4, there's a better starting rotation in baseball. When you look at some of the positional players, they're really good. So I don't necessarily think that the answer is always a star player. I'm not saying we won't get one, but I don't think it's a necessity by any means.
And then Hoffman and Estevez are both free agents. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself signing one of them? Is it unlikely that you could bring back both, knowing where you are right now with payroll?
Well, you never know with payroll because you don't know what other adjustments and changes that you end up making. We'd like to have, we like them both. It's hard for me to imagine that you end up bringing them both back under the circumstances because I would gather they're both going to get offered long-term big-dollar contracts, which they're going to be looking for. I don't see us spending that type of money on 2 relievers in our bullpen, but I'm just not sure at this time. But we like them both.
And then one last one. Is it important for you to extend Ranger? Is that something you probably would wait and see how he does next season?
Well, we like Ranger a lot. I mean, understandably so. And we liked the Ranger the first half of the season better than the second half. He didn't have his – and there was a lot that was involved in that from his own perspective. But he's a good pitcher. We're all very open-minded to having Ranger in the organization for a long time.
Alex in the front.
You mentioned upgrading the 5th starter spot. Given the uncertainty of when Painter would be ready to come into the rotation, how do you navigate that? Does that make it a little bit more difficult to upgrade that spot?
Yeah, perhaps. But, I mean, those are things we have to figure out, really. I don't have that answer at this time with the season just ending, Painter just pitching. So, it does make it more difficult chore in the sense that you're not sure when he's going to come back. Do you sign some? If you sign somebody, they're looking for a chance to get the ball on an everyday basis. There's some complexities in it, but nothing that's insurmountable.
And you mentioned Walker is going to be doing an off-season program. Is it going to be what he was working on during his rehab stint, like the weighted ball stuff, or is it going to be something different?
Well, it's a continuation of that plus more. Yes.
Okay, back right.
You were quoted as saying, regarding the playoff format, is that you would prefer to play in the wild card if you could guarantee you could come through it healthy. Would you like to see the playoff format tweaked in any way?
Well, I don't have a good answer. I mean, you can ask that, and no matter how you face it, right? Well, there's always challenges. Well, unfortunately, when you look at it, the challenge of having the bye, we're the only one that didn't come through it, right? So the other three clubs ended up overcoming that this year. And I think that, if you talk to, so you can do that. I'd rather make sure you're going to the second round, however you do that. If you talk to Baltimore, if you talk to Houston, those type of clubs, I'm sure they would have not wanted to play that divisional series because they lost. There's a lot of different thoughts and ideas. We've talked about this since it first was indoctrinated way back when the original wild card came into play. There's a lot of different ideas. I don't have a solution that solves the problem, unfortunately, when you have it. But the other thing is that, hey, we had a chance to get it done, and we didn't with it. So, and the other clubs did. So I don't have a 100% answer that this is what I would like to see for the playoffs.
Okay, take a few more, starting with Matt.
Dave, what do you think the club's offensive identity should be moving forward, and is it different than what we've seen?
Well, describe offensive identity to me when you're talking about that. I don't know really even what you're asking me there.
Approach, things that are stressed.
Well, our approach, I mean, we're going to continue to approach and do things. I mean, your goal is to score a lot of runs, right? I mean, that's what you're, more runs than the other club, and to lead the league in runs scored. I do think at times you can always get better. I mean, you don't want to strike out a lot if you can avoid that. But yet, if you have a big power hitter, that kind of comes with the territory. You don't want guys who are not power hitters striking out a whole bunch. And even your power hitters, you don't want them to strike out a lot. I do think that you continue to emphasize two-strike approach. I do one thing I would like us to do, and that's going to fall into Kevin Long's hands. I really would like us to use the whole field a little bit more at times. We become a pull-oriented club at times too much for me. That sometimes gets in the postseason when you look at it. A lot of our hits didn't come the opposite way. And that's something we've already talked about ourselves. Now, the hitters have to buy into that, too. They have to be in that position. And sometimes, you hear, I can't tell you how many times during the season, I don't even have a number of this, where you'll say, well, we tried to do too much, right? We didn't do that. Well, what does that mean? It usually means that you're not trying to use the whole field, that you're trying to, and it's not like somebody's putting it on their own back to say, oh, I want to be a hero. They're just really getting sped up in the moment. Whatever happens, and everybody's different. But I myself would really like us to use the field a little bit more than what we do. And we do it well at times. But then we run in other times where we don't. And, again, it's something we've already talked about.
Okay, Taryn, back left.
Hello, Dave.
Hello.
I'm going to ask you to simplify something that I know you're not going to want to simplify. But when you were mentioning to Todd the number of stars you have in the clubhouse, the starting rotation, the all-stars on this year's roster, when you look at a team where their expectation was the World Series and you have all of those raw materials, mm-hmm. what is the final missing piece, you think, to putting them over the edge in the postseason and finally getting that World Series, whether it's health or a player? What is the missing piece you felt like for this year's team?
Well, I don't think that that's the... To me, the answer is not the missing piece. The answer is playing well at the right time. And so when you say that, I've always felt you go out there with four good starting pitchers, right? Well, we have four good starting pitchers. You go out there with a good bullpen. Our bullpen didn't pitch well. It just didn't. I mean, that's the way it is. But I really thought going into the postseason that it's a an incorrect judgment by me and by a lot of us that we thought our bullpen would be. That's what you're looking to do. We didn't score enough runs. We just did not. I mean, we scored runs in one game. We did not score runs in three games. And so you go back in the past years, there's some games we scored runs and there's other games we didn't. But you really have to play well at the right time. I've been with a lot of really good clubs. I mean, I was with the clubs in Detroit that had three future Hall of Famers on it and a lot of star players and won our division almost every year. And we never won the World Series. It's hard to win. There's a lot of good clubs out there. And so you just have to be the club playing the best at the right time and maybe get a break or two there. But that's what makes winning so feel so good, because it's so hard. And so you look at, when I look back and I say, okay, again, some of you may, the Atlanta Braves dynasty, right? They won 12 divisions in a row. And they won one World Series. It's hard. And so I don't think it's necessary. We have the talent to win. I mean, we can dissect it however we want, and I know you will. We're talented enough to win. We didn't play very well in the postseason this year. We just didn't as a club. Some guys did. I don't want to say that everybody didn't, because some people, you'd look at Zach Wheeler and you'd say, God, you couldn't be much better than that, right? But this was not our, to me, and that's what kind of hurts more than anything. When you look at the club and you say, that's a good club. Now, we weren't playing great all the way through the second half of the season, but there's a lot of really good players on there. And I read our players' comments, and they know it. We just didn't play well. So I don't think there's any secret formula. And hey, when I'm not putting – we didn't play well, but I take my responsibilities. I'm sure Rob Thompson will take his responsibilities. But sometimes you play well and sometimes you don't. And it just breaks my heart that – I mean, but I've gone through this. I went through in Detroit Tiger clubs that were just phenomenal. We went through it with Boston before we won the World Championship. And that's where sometimes you got to be careful, because in Boston we were there – 2016, we won our division. 2017, we won our division. We got knocked out in the first round both times. We didn't even, now there was not the extra wild card that, like there is now. We lost both times in the first round. It was like, son of a gun, we got a really good team. But we won the whole thing the next year after that, 2018. So sometimes you play a little better, you get on a roll, you do the right things, and sometimes the same players can do it for you. Sometimes you have to make adjustments with things, and you have to be open-minded to it. I know, like for myself, I look at it, and you asked about the trading deadline. Well, for me, it really hurts that Austin Hayes didn't have a good 2 months, right? We thought, I take the responsibility, that Austin Hayes would really going to help us. And versus the Mets, right, left-hand pitching, right setup, right matchup. He gets hurt. I mean, he gets sick. Yeah, there's just, and he wasn't the same player after that. He's been a good player in the past. So you have to click at the right time for those things to happen. And I don't always have a rhyme or reason. I know we worked hard during that week off. I mean, I saw us. We faced live pitching. We did velocity machine. We did a curveball machine. We did all that stuff. But we just didn't play very well during this postseason.
Okay, finish up our last two. Destiny, then Tim.
Dave, do you think this team lost its edge at some point after getting off to such a hot start? And if so, do you think there's a lesson to be learned there?
Well, I can't. You know, when you're around the club every day, like I am, I mean, and you try to get a pulse of that, I never sensed that there was a let-up where people looked at it and said, okay, we're going to hold back on this, we're going to hold back on that. I never sensed that. But you watch the same games as I did, and we were not playing at the same caliber of baseball the second half. And we ourselves would say, what's going on here? How come we're not playing quite as well? Tried to identify those type of things. And we went through a down spurt. But I don't think it was where we were, like there was any lull as far as the approach was concerned. It just, again, we had a down period. Then I thought it kind of kicked back there for a while, and which it was. I don't really get as concerned as others do on how you finish the lap. Once you've clinched, you need to keep if you lose some games at that point, it's not really quite as high on mine, because I've been on clubs that have lost at the end of the season and they do great in the postseason, because I think at that point you want to keep your players sharp, but your philosophy is how do I keep them sharp and prepared and healthy to go into the postseason? But we just didn't play quite as well.
Okay, Tim, last one.
Dave, would you like to extend Kyle Schwarber this offseason, and how do you balance that with the amount of players you have signed into their 30s now?
Well, we like Kyle Schwarber a lot. He's somebody that's been up, but we haven't gotten into any type of offseason projections on who we're going to sign or not sign at this point.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dave.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.